The HDXT AfriCast is sponsored by Neotel, South Africa's first converged communications network operator. Neotel, inspiring possibilities. Hello and welcome to another episode of the HTXT AfriCast. I'm Brett Haggard. Thanks for joining us. Today we're going to try something a little different, and you would have seen us experimenting with a couple of different things over the past couple of weeks. What we're trying to do on a Tuesday or a Thursday every single week is drop in an interview with an interesting company or spokesperson or celebrity inside the tech sector, and maybe just use that to deliver some insight into what's going on inside the sector. And this week we've managed to have Adam Oxford at Satnac in PE, where he's spoken to some interesting people, but amongst others, some interesting folks from Alcatel-Lucent. So what we're going to do right now is jump straight into the interview he conducted with them a day or two ago. Hope you enjoy it.
I'm Adam Oxford, I'm here for the HTXT AfriCast, and I'm joined by two lovely gentlemen from Alcatel-Lucent.
Don't use the word lovely so generally, yeah? You can say Shireen is lovely. Daniel Yeager is my name. I'm the Vice President for Africa, or let's say basically it's Sub-Saharan Africa. I'm based in Johannesburg here.
Yeah. Yes, well, I'm JP Lartigue. I am the head of corporate strategy for Alcatel-Lucent, so covering the group strategy.
And so JP, I listened to your presentation earlier. I had the pleasure of hearing your speaking.
In 1 hour from now.
In an hour here at Saturday. There were a few things that I thought were really interesting in your presentation.
Thank you.
You mentioned that South Africa is one of the most prolific nations when it comes to social media. I just wonder where you got those statistics.
Well, I think this is actually a BCG study, and it's quite interesting. They map the penetration of broadband compared to the social networking intensity. So it's a vision of how much you have social networking for the given penetration. So South Africa is in the upper left corner, which means that the penetration in broadband is still limited. But for the ones that are actually connected, the social networking exchanges and the connection or the participation to social network is extremely high. And I think that's a neat, I would say, statistic. It's quite actually match. Other countries are in the same corners, like India a bit, and countries like Indonesia as well. So I think that it shows a trend where I would say the community is developing itself in broadband in South Africa. There is an opportunity for a larger adoptions and very, I would say, vibrant community activity through broadband.
The big theme of this week's conference is ubiquitous broadband, and trying to get more people across the continent connected, and hopefully using social media and What can a vendor like Alcatel-Lucent do to help promote access to the internet?
We do a lot worldwide, and more specifically in Africa and South Africa. I think that historically we are the worldwide leader for broadband access, and that's we have been developing ADSL initially, being the leader there, develop fiber, develop VDSL with vectoring, which brings a lot more bandwidth. We have developed IP networks given that, and we have been growing quite a lot in IP networks. We are very active in mobile and mobile broadband, so I'm developing now very strong positions in LTE and small cells, a leading position. So we have a lot of the building blocks that are making actually the broadband universe and the broadband development. What we have done on top of that, because initially we are providing products and solutions, but we are working quite closely with operators and governments to enable the penetration of broadband and the development of the broadband ecosystem. So that means that in countries, we will be present into how the regulation discussion is happening, how the private-public partnerships, you know, the financing is happening, and how we can help basically to gel with our experience such of the ecosystems.
Well, what's the difference between dealing with, say, an African ISP and an Indian ISP? I mean, do you feel like the operators are really there when it comes to trying to extend
the networks? Yeah, they are actually, the comparison has to be done really worldwide, and there are major differences in between the situations of the different continents. I think that to start with, I am based out of the US, and North America has had now for some time a real supply strategy, which has bringing the infrastructure and then growing the traffic and the capacity and the user on that. It has been very successful, and we have seen that in Northeast Asia as well, in China now, and more and more in Southeast Asia. And we see these countries actually ramping up with fast cycles to a real big wave, I would say, of adoption. Europe has been quite strong to develop, I would say, mobile and the first wave of DSL broadband, but has been a bit slowing down with more demand strategy into getting to the next stage. I think that when we go to Africa or other emerging countries, we see now these countries getting more and more on board, because it's clear that there is an opportunity to be connected, and the global world of broadband is a global economy. So countries like South Africa, like Malaysia, like Thailand have the opportunity to step up and really benefit of the economy. But in the same time, there is a clear challenge to reach out to everybody. And I think that we are at the situations where good efforts and good growth have been done on the first, I would say, wave of subscribers. But now there is a second wave that needs to ramp up in order to access everybody. And I think that this is probably getting with a mix of what you can do in broadband fixed and broadband mobile. Mm.
I think...
Sorry, can you...
No, just one thing to add with regard to the African situation. Of course, as you know very well, Africa is very diverse, so it's dangerous to talk about one Africa. But if we still try to do that anyhow, you have, of course, a stage that is much earlier than Europe. So here you find some operators that just do their first steps into real broadband. No matter if it's fixed broadband, where you find ISPs or operators coming, experimenting with the first fiber, or you also find, because in many countries there is no fixed infrastructure, and that's why LTE comes in rather handily, some greenfield operators starting up with LTE. So there's a lot of, I would not say experimenting, but there's a lot of pioneering that is happening at this stage in different ways in different parts of Africa, also around what Jean-Pierre just mentioned, the fixed and the wireless. There's the play is on both sides, but at the end of the day, it's both broadband, even if of a different kind.
Now, before I let Adam continue with the rest of his interview, I want to speak about our awesome sponsor, Neotel. Neotel is South Africa's first converged communications network operator. It provides a range of value-added voice, internet, and data services for enterprise, wholesale, and retail customers in Southern Africa. Powered by Neotel's high-performance fiber optic backbone, its next-generation network challenges the status quo, making communications simpler and inspiring you to the next level. For more information, call 0860-NEOTEL. That's 0860-636-835 or visit www.neotel.co.za. Neotel, inspiring possibilities, and we thank them so much for their support of the HTXT AfriCast. Back to you, Adam.
One thing you mentioned earlier, Jean-Pierre, was the video is a great driver. And to me, that's something that you can't never be able to deliver in a cost-effective way. Why it's not? You can't stream networks over LTE. Bandwidth is there, the cost of daily is hugely important. Then there is still a place for fixed infrastructure territory.
So, yes, I think that video has to be seen in different associations, because initially, or fundamentally, video is already beyond the streaming in every content. You surf, you get video. You surf, you get YouTube, and you get video. You surf, you get content on a website, you get video. So video by itself is a communication content that is becoming actually the major content exchange into our life in broadband. Now, on top of that, there is clearly an evolution from the broadcasting TV and the video on demand TV, where you get now online the video content and you are streaming more and more the content to Hulu or Netflix. I think that that's a second wave that is actually ramping up the video. Now, the question is, I am with my tablet, I am with my TV, I am with my phone, I want to see the video, whatever it is. I don't care actually too much what is the last my collections, I want to see it. So we think that the last meters of the connection will be always more and more without wires. Whatever is the case, because our devices are without wires. Now, the main question is, what is the most economical way to bring all these bandwidths to a wireless device, knowing that you leverage either your fixed access at home, your fixed access in the neighborhood, or a tower that is broadcasting mobile signals in a large neighborhood. And I think that that's really the equation that operators are solving now to understand what is the trade-off of economic and bandwidth and infrastructure deployment. So that's, this is basically a toolkit. And you need to play with all elements of the toolkit. So to the fact to receive actually video on your tablet, maybe the best at home is to get actually, yes, the broadband access with VDSL vectoring, 50 megabit to 100 megabit capability, and then Wi-Fi. That's interesting. But it could be, in the future, some LTE streaming. And we are working with some mobile capabilities. We have demonstrated, actually, live broadcast of video over LTE for specific events, and it works very well.
And, of course, spectrum licensing is a huge problem, particularly here in South Africa. It's just, everybody's sort of focused on that. I get the impression everybody's focused on LTE, that's the spectrum to deliver it.
No, you see big differences, of course, in various African countries. There's some countries that moved ahead and said, fine, I have the 800 spectrum, I license it out. And even more, like Ghana, for example, they said, I give it out only to new players. None of the existing operators could even apply for that. Just at the same time, not only push for data, but also push the competitiveness in the market up. And then there's other markets, and you have mentioned some of them, where, okay, nothing has been moving much. You've heard the minister this morning who was saying something is going to happen. I think he said in short or mid-term, which is... can give us some idea on it, but it was not very very specific.
I think that globally, regulations both on the physical infrastructure, for example ducts for the cables, or on the spectrum is a key structuring factor of our country. Will deploy its activity. It's really because these resources are rare resources that fix the equation of the cost and the equation of what you can do. And I think that that's where the public-private dialogue and partnership, a global plan, a notion of what do you want to develop as an economy of supply, of demand, of competition, has to happen, and they are very structuring for a country. And we have seen different models with different countries. Some have worked, some didn't work. And I think it's very important to take all these learnings, especially for South Africa, and understand what is the right path.
I know, again, trying to generalize, but of course, So again, trying not to generalize about Africa too much, but there are several sort of international organizations now really pushing for reducing the cost of internet access. You've got Ericsson and the ITU on one side, and the Access Alliance for Internet on the other side. I mean, do you guys interact with those bodies much when you're trying to homogenize regulatory frameworks between countries, or are you fairly independent?
No, but we. I think it's part of what we do. We work a lot with the Alliance for Affordable Internet. We're one of the members of the Alliance, and that's one of the areas where we move. I think there's a lot of work that has to be done in the regulatory space, but there's also a lot of work that can be done in the individual country regulatory space, where an alliance can push. But at the end of the day, it comes to sitting down with other players in the market. As you just said, there's activities that come from the players in the market, and sometimes the players in the market say, "I don't need a regulator to tell me. We could form and whatever kind of structure to make sure that our investment is more efficient than if I build a network and you build a tower next to it and somebody else does the same thing." In some other cases, it will be the regulator. Take Rwanda as an example, that the government decided to give out exactly one LTE license for an open access network, where now all the other operators can participate to all the same to clearly regulated conditions. But they decided this is the way to bring the highest penetration of 4G into the country in the fastest way. And we have a lot of discussions with regulators, with politicians, with our customers in countries. A lot of small work, if you want, just due to the structure of the continent that is happening.
How much of the development in terms of enabling access is going to come from the demand side? People tend to talk a little bit of big broad brush structural reforms and regulatory control and stuff, but do you feel like there's enough work being done in sort of consumer education and sort of showing people, you know, the benefits of the broadband access can have them, give them, and they might actually be able to either organise together, as we've seen overseas, or pressure themselves on that industry to bring
I think it's happening. Of course, not on the same level in all countries, but we see that as soon as somebody comes up in a country, and even a small operator, small ISP, puts up 20-30 B's and launches an LTE network, suddenly this creates a demand for the others. Not just the competitive pressure that the others need to act as well, but also from the demand side. I think that's the only or the best way of educating, that somebody just does the pioneer move, and by showing something that the customer has not seen before, they realize that there's something out there that they have been missing, but they didn't know it was it was existing, or that they were missing it.
It's clear that from transformation of the market perspective, LTE, as much as actually very high speed fiber or VDSL, creates a new marketing and brand opportunity for operators. So around the world, several operators have really taken this step as to create really a new experience and new packages for end users in order to really change the nature of the game, because it's now broadband experience with a content and service upsell that is very different from the past. Others have more taken basically the step of improving what they had before and make that as an incremental. Personally, I think that the demand side is a bit more difficult to create, and so the supply side, where you would say, I'm going, this is a new game, this is a new offering, and I'm changing the nature of broadband, works better.
And finally, Claire, I know it's a busy day, I've probably got to shoot up in a minute. Completely unrelated, but also kind of the way it is. I noticed you guys made an announcement a couple of minutes ago about, I think it was 10 gigabits per second proper, the research labs have managed to do. I mean, is copper still part of the future?
Or yes.
Shouldn't everyone just be switching to fiber?
I am putting a big yes. As it has been mentioned, I've been board member of the FTTH Council in Europe, and definitely fiber has an important and bright future. But what we have been able to achieve with copper, and especially when we say we, Alcatel-Lucent, because I think that there is a lot of innovations coming from Alcatel-Lucent and Bell Labs in this domain, we have been really able to push the limit of the physical domain. And so what we have shown with 10 gig is bringing that with the copper, you can actually extract still a lot of bandwidth with the right technologies. So there is a bright future. I think that it drives a mix really a mix between fiber and copper and wireless. And the toolkit is very, very large, but it's very simple. Mm. When you have the copper in the ground, well, you have the copper in the ground, so it saves a lot of money. It saves a lot of money. So if you can put on this copper a maximum bandwidth, well, that saves quite some money to do something else, which is also very important. And so definitely the reuse of copper with new technologies and getting to be more and more bandwidth is still moving well forward.
Linked to that, we're also doing a lot of work with operators on looking at the right mix. In which part of a deployment would you use copper, whereas in another one would you go for fiber? And that's very interesting discussion that we're having in a lot of places right now.
So the big problem here, of course, is copper theft. It seems to be that there's not that education that actually fibers worthless if you steal it. Because I don't think we're still stealing fiber lines out of the ground.
Because it's difficult to tell from a distance what it is, yes.
So that's why we name actually our strategy fiber to the most economical point. Where we believe actually that you bring fiber to a certain point and then you reuse what you have. Of course, if there are issues of stealing or the economic equation changes, but it's really a question of getting onto a territory, really a territory, even not a country, a territory. Look at what is on the ground. Look at the economic situations, how much it costs to dig, for example, and then make the right decision.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
The HTXT AfriCast is sponsored by Neotel, South Africa's first converged communications network operator. Neotel, inspiring possibilities.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.